So what can I do to make you feel I'm down with you? See me hanging around, but you don't know how you make me feel for you. And each and every day I try to make some sense of this, what you mean to me. I know it could be serious. Each and every night I dream about just holding you, loving you like this. What is a girl supposed to do?
Take it away, Kia.
I love you.
Oh, no, nigga, no.
I want you. You're the one that I live for. And I can't take it anymore. I love you. I need you. I think it's something plain to see that you're the only one for me. I believe that those are the lyrics. It's been some time. But praise the Lord, niggas.
Praise the Lord, niggas.
And shout out to Faith Renee Evans.
Yes.
I hope
Universal
she's well.
Black girl middle name of the world.
Well, I would say that Nicole, Renee, and Marie
Nicole
are
as well.
Marie,
Nicole and Renee.
Nicole.
Marie.
Yes, Nicole, Renee, and Marie are the top contenders.
I would agree with that. I would not argue.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, indeed. Niggas. How are you, sister?
I
feel like we haven't been here in eons together.
It's been a minute. We've been doing things, working, living, all of that. I haven't any, well, I should say it like this. I have complaints, but, you know, we are moving through. In the grand scheme of things, I am safe and I have exactly what I need. And everything is going to be all right. How are you?
I'm good. You guys want to hear something fun? Kia and I started our periods on the same day.
I mean, and this, not to be completely, I know y'all are like, okay, all in our uteruses.
And,
is it uteri?
It's fine.
Either way. Not
uteri.
To put y'all deep down into the depths of our business, but this particular cycle is
sister
taking all of, I mean,
sister.
I am depleted. I just,
yo,
I'm over here taking vitamins and drinking water like I don't have anything left to give.
Drained. Do you hear me?
I mean, it is all that I can do to remain upright. I just want to lay down.
I feel like the entire JNXT episode this week, because I had to record earlier. And I was like, I don't really know what the fuck is what the fuck. It was all that I can say.
Yes. Like, I felt so bad because I was at work. Today was particular. We had a marathon meetings. I mean, back to back to back. And I felt like every time somebody said something to me, I would say, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Because I heard it. But I just need.
But you were busy.
But I was busy trying to be alive. I was literally.
Yeah.
Just me sitting here trying to have life is really
same.
I just need a little. Could you give me a yes? So I just
baby grips. You know how baby grips mm-hmm. are like a chokehold.
Yes,
that's what I feel like is happening.
Yes,
you know, it's like 1,000 baby grips
yes.
on my uterus.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I just, you know, and I'm trying to remain consistent in my workouts, right? And I felt like
so
you should get extra points when you work out and your cycle is cycling.
You know, that should be like an extra half of a life point or something.
I think that like,
I don't know
do
what
do
we
you
should
get
win,
like
but...
a star in your crown or something? Like, what is it that you...
Or a couple of those target circle points.
Like, oh, I should feel like I should get like free delivery on free shipping
yeah.
on anything that I order. Something. I need
like 7 days of free Grubhub or something.
I need
like
something
that.
For my.
Yeah.
I need a
to
return.
Compensate.
I need a return on this investment.
I agree.
But, you know, listen, we thank God because it could have been another way. Okay.
Ho! Oh, say that again. Hebo bo sha. Hey, hey, hey.
Oh,
but
yes.
I know you all didn't come here to hear about our heavy flows and our wide set vaginas.
This is forever. This show is for adults. Line. Okay, we have to. We have to do away with this negative stigma that exists around menstrual cycles because it is a part of our lives. We have to survive every 28 days.
But there does have to be a balance because I have to tell you, hopefully, Tristan was on a school trip and he said. Yo, such and such. He goes. Now you already know. He's like. I got you. I got Noah coming up. He was like, you already know. Like I'm not weird.
Yeah, he's
out
about
by
to
n-
be
by
in
none
this
of that.
House full of women. House filled with women.
But he's not one of those that's like, I don't want to hear none. I can't be with nobody like that. But he said, he goes, yo, my such and such came up to me and just started talking about their cycle. on a school trip, and it wasn't a student.
Oh, really?
He was standing there. He was like, "I was just trying to be supportive." And he was like, "Okay,
bless
all
his
right."
Heart.
He's
bless
like, and I'm heart. Thinking to myself, "Bitch, the only two cycles I give a fuck about.
I
are
am
Jade
not responsible
and-
for caring for your uterus, ma'am. Okay,
yeah, wait.
This is not my business."
Way- It was the dumbfounded nigga face where he was like, I was just like, okay.
It's like, what? Like, this is, I know that many people are,
so hard.
Many people are probably listening to this intro right now like, huh, well.
I don't give a, no, I don't know. It. Don't be weirded out by a motherfucking period, nigga. Like, we're both recording here. If you hear ornery in our voices, it is because we synced up like Tia and Tamanka, nigga. We are on our periods at the same damn time. Get you a host who can do both. I don't give a fuck if you feel a way about this intro. But yes, with that being said, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Being Grown. This week, because of the state of affairs of us, we decided to keep it light. We did this last minute, so we weren't able to rope Dr. Raquel in. But we are going to talk about a couple of current events that are happening in society.
Because the world is worlding, is it not?
What the fuck? It is going crazy.
I'm overwhelmed.
I think we're entering another ice age, according to XZ, but that's because he's watching a lot of that prehistoric dinosaur stuff.
Bless him. I love his tweets because it'll be like, we'll be talking about like anything. It'll be like, my mom called me and said XYZ, and then it'll be like dinosaurs.
Yeah, he'll be like, do you think dinosaurs had cell phones? Like, it's just. Every time we record now, this nigga be like, do you think every time you drink water, it's dinosaur water? I'm like, get off!
XD is like, do you think that the dinosaurs are not extinct? They're just at the bottom of the ocean? Ah.
They could be mermaidosaurs.
I'm like, listen, whatever is down there is none of my business, okay?
Listen,
and
it really is
how I feel.
And we will talk about that. But before we do so, we have a little shout out to get into, so let's head in that direction.
Yes, let's.
My sister's popping right now, like.
What it is, what it do, we're gonna shout out another nigga too.
Yes, we are. If you recall, it's a couple of months now, but we had a good sister friend to the show, Jovian Zane, joined us for a very timely conversation about purpose. And if you recall on that episode, sis, we talked about her annual event called the International Day of Purpose. The International Day of Purpose was held on June 20th, 2023. And it is each year, the International Day of Purpose invites us all to reflect on our sense of purpose and how we can be more intentional in how we live. This year's theme was Gather on Purpose. It was a call to meaningfully connect with one another. It was a way for us to confront the epidemic of loneliness and mental health challenges posed by the pandemic. We're coming out of the pandemic. International Day of Purpose is encouraging us to reconnect. And I wanted us, you know, International Day of Purpose, even if you missed the actual day, there's so much great so many great resources available on dayofpurpose.org. More specifically, mm-hmm. there was a toolkit. So Jovian is so cool that she actually gave a toolkit for people who wanted to have a framework or some resources and information and definitions, some talking points, some discussion points, giving people some prompts and means and mechanisms for gathering and encouraging gathering to discuss purpose, to live in purpose, to reflect on purpose. And so I just thought it was so, so cool. So shout out to everyone who gathered for International Day of Purpose 2023. I utilized the Day of Purpose discussion prompts and did some in my own personal prayer and reflection time yesterday, and wanted to encourage you all, even though the actual International Day of Purpose may have passed, there are great resources that are available, and I want to encourage you to use them. And shout out and congratulate our sister Jovian Zane for another very successful International Day of Purpose.
Yes.
They are available. All like I said, these resources, and more specifically, the Day of Purpose Toolkit is available on dayofpurpose.org for your download. So I encourage you, get together with your good, good girlfriends, put some of the discussion prompts down to the group chat, and just let's have some conversation amongst
I love that.
Jovian,
you got to come back.
Yeah. Like, I want her to come back and do like a recap. But, yes. you know, follow. And another thing that you can do is to follow the Day of Purpose hashtags on Instagram and Twitter. And yesterday it was so cool to see all of the people using the hashtag and providing great pictures and videos of all of the Day of Purpose events that were going on, not just around the country, but around the world. So our shout out is none other than Jovian Zane and her team and all of us, all of you. Who participated in Day of Purpose 2023.
Shout out to y'all. Shout out to Jovian. And we'll have all of that information, like I said, or like Kia said, in the description box. So if you missed out, we'll direct you right on over there. And we'll see you all for the next segment.
Yay, yay.
It can take a couple of tries, but when it's right, you shouldn't even feel it. I'm talking about tampons, people. Now, while pads are great, I was a pad girl for a long stretch of my period having life, tampons give you more flexibility and freedom. I remember the first time I was going on a little beach party weekend and my period came on. Can you envision stress? My homegirl, shout out to sisters, showed me how to use a tampon and I was free. I'm talking fly like a bird, or I guess more like swim like a dolphin, but you get the point. Prior to using tampons, I felt limited on my period. Once I found out they can protect the same as my pad and it shouldn't hurt, it took me a couple of tries to get it right, but I learned how to properly insert a Tampax and I didn't and still don't even feel it. Tampax allows me the freedom and flexibility to do everything I want on my period.
Oh, hello and welcome to the kitchen table talk.
Yes, Jade and I are just catching up. We're catching up. Because there's so much drama in the LBC. I mean, there's so much going on in the world. And I just feel like I need an outlet. I need to process.
Yeah.
I took to my Instagram stories earlier today. I don't know where we want to start. Did you have a preference?
No. Go ahead and continue on with what you were saying.
So I took to my Instagram stories today because I've been in a very reflective space and I've been thinking quite a bit about, we've all learned of this Ocean Gate submersible and this voyage to the depths of the deep blue sea, specifically to the wreckage of the Titanic. There are five individuals boarded a submersible that I am told is the size of an Astro van.
What?
Yes. It is the size.
Not a Sprinter.
Not a Sprinter. An Astro van. There are no seats. It's just sort of like, you know, it's literally like go in there and it's like somebody gutted an Astro van and put like a flooring down. There are no
crisscross
seats.
Applesauce on the
literally
floor.
Five human beings sitting crisscross applesauce on the ground. This submersible is also controlled by like a Xbox controller, like a joystick.
Yeah. So yes, so I read.
And these individuals paid this particular company $250,000 US currency, $250,000 yep. each, to board yep. this submersible to travel what I'm told is 11,000 meters deep into the ocean.
So I saw a an infographic.
I watched a video that talked about mm-hmm. how the Statue of Liberty is 93 meters tall as a reference, and the Eiffel Tower is like 354 meters. And so you literally could take, you know, maybe about 1,000 Statues of Liberty and stack them on top of each other. And that's how deep. That's just about how deep into the Lord's ocean these people elected to go. And I feel like, you know, I hate to hear that, you know, they went down there, they got stuck. It's not clear whether or not they got actually stuck inside of the wreckage itself, or if there was some sort of technical issue, but they lost communication with the vessel about an hour into the voyage, which I'm told began on a Sunday night. And so now they have been down there. Now this vessel, there's only 90 hours worth of air, oxygen, for these five human beings. Yeah. And we are now close to over 80% of that air has been used up at this mm-hmm. point that we're mm-hmm. recording. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's been a search that has not been successful to this point. But as time continues to wind down, and I'm listening to all of the news accounts and the different experts talking about how difficult and near impossible it will be to rescue these people at this point for any number of reasons. I have a lot of mixed feelings about this. It's sad to hear that they're, that, you know, this would be the end of somebody's story. Like to lose your life in this way is very sad. But I also have many questions, and I'm struggling to wrap my brain around a rational reason
on why you want to go down there and do that.
For this. I personally believe, sister, as air-breathing mammals that we are, mm-hmm. anything where oxygen is unavailable is outside of the realms of our business and our concern.
Let me tell you one solid thing. I ain't doing it.
And I just have always felt that we don't have no business down there.
I don't like... When I was a kid, you'd be wrestling with your cousins and doing all... I don't like when niggas put the blanket over my head. So I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to catch me willfully testing the strength of Yemaya. And
the way that I'm set up, if you recall, sis, when we were in Antigua and we had the catamaran and, you know, you can jump off the boat and into the water, I never let go of the ladder. I was in the water, but I was holding fast to the boat.
I remember.
And it wasn't
respect for the mommy water.
Mm-mm. I said, let me tell you 38 things about who is not playing games with this here ocean, because we don't play games with the ocean. Okay.
No,
I just feel like it is audacious. I feel like there's a certain kind of privilege that you have when you feel like, I don't care if you can't breathe down there, I'm going anyway. Like, I feel like what kind of whiteness is it?
Because that's an audacity that I don't have.
What kind
and
of
listen,
caucasity
I understand that there are black
it?
People who are, there are black people who are speaking up. Now, granted, you might want to take that with a grain of salt, Lil Duval being one of them.
What?
But there are black people speaking up talking about, if I had enough money and resources, I bet you I'd be on that motherfucker.
Go right ahead. I welcome him to do this.
This is where, please, you know,
have your way. Have a good time.
Two words for how we're supposed to expel parts of things walking about this earth.
I just feel like
natural selection, but also like it's sad. It's sad. Like you said, that somebody's story going to end this way, but it's a whole lot of audacity to take into account that the Titanic is all the way down there and they still have not successfully been able to explore this piece of work. Because of how deep it is into the ocean. You go deep enough in there, it will crush your body. Why do you want parts of that? And then you're going to do it off of the strength of a fucking swell bottle and an Xbox controller? Like, what?
I think when I think about the... And, you know, people are entitled to do what they want to do with their money.
But absolutely.
We live in a world where there are people who are unhoused. Where there are cities and towns that don't have access to clean water, where access to quality health care is not a priority for people. And I mean, you know, gas tax, the gas has gone up 10 cents here since Saturday, right? But, you know, I just think if we're thinking about what we can do with $250,000. I mean, to further, there are museums and displays. There are exhibitions that have sort of, you know, researchers who have studied the Titanic and the Titanic wreckage, things that are available here on Earth with on land.
You can go walk around and
you can walk around and freely breathe and explore and learn. This is another thing, sister. We talked about
that. Bet you these are the same people saying they didn't want to wear masks during the height of the pandemic.
Thank you. We talked about the submersible. We talked about the fact that it was operated by a game controller and that there are no seats.
Fucking
I also
buns.
Want you to let this is the part that is so rich to me. There are no windows.
Okay. All right. So I was waiting for you to get to that part, because if the idea of the exploration was for us to go down and have a tour of the Titanic ruins, how you tour?
There is a little television inside of the submersible that is connected to a camera that is on the outside of the submersible.
So you can't send a camera down in the submersible and then watch the television.
No, because that would be too much like
where
right.
You can breathe.
That would be too much like good sense. Okay? No.
Because
instead,
if the camera never makes it down, at least we all know.
Listen,
but
we've
you
lost
said, no, I'm
we've
going
lost,
to test these
We've
boundaries
lost the camera.
Myself.
We've lost the instrument, but all of our lives remain. Howsoever, you went down literally to the ocean's floor to watch the ocean's floor on TV. To the tune of $250,000 a piece.
And I'm really like what you said about the unhoused, because the crisis is out of control and it's only getting worse. This is the Super Bowl getting ready to hit LA in a few years or what? Not Super Bowl or Olympics or whatever. And how they're clearing out all of downtown
encampments
and taking all of the all of those unhoused people and all of their the homes that they've built for themselves, because let's call them what they are, and putting them out in the sweltering desert where they don't have the proper resources to survive. In a way that's fit for a human being. There are so many people walking around here hungry. Like you said, what can $500,000 do for Flint and their wife, for Jackson? Like there's so many issues.
And we think about this, right? We think about the way the international response, right? So there's been a search for the last 3 days. People, governments, using resources, individuals, the Coast Guard, U.S. Coast Guard, Canadian Coast Guard, people coming from around the world to contribute to the search for this submersible. So it's on top of the money that these people spent to go down there. Think of all of the money that the government is spending to find them. Right? And then y'all finna cut my student loans back on next month. I'm going to tell you what.
And you know what else? And you know, and another thing. There is enough pollution. There is enough going on. The world is telling us rapidly.
Let me tell you something.
Every single day that she is purging and punting us niggas up.
We continue.
Her.
That's what I said. We continue to poke the Lord. We are down there in his business poking and doing things that we don't have no business doing. And another thing, did you hear that the orcas, all of like the orcas got together and had a business
sister
meeting. The killer whale said
swimming like a
flock
of geese.
Let me tell you what, okay? We listen, the orca said we gonna find him. Oh y'all can't find him.
TTG trained to go.
I bet we will. The orcas have gathered. They are convening. It is a symposium of killer whales.
Okay. The animals are taking back
the animals have said, you're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
I just feel like, it's just so much happening. Okay? And when I think about all of the world's needs, and you're talking to someone who is, I'm an academic. I love to study, research, to learn. Mm-hmm. And so I understand why there would be interest in wanting to understand and understand history, understand what happened, to sort of understand, you know, that spirit of discovery. But I just feel like we have to do things in a way that, I don't know, I just feel like this seems like to be a huge cost.
You know what else? Stop discovering shit that don't want to be discovered.
I mean, okay? This is what I'm saying. Things that are just not our business. There are so many things that are going on land that should be the focus of our concern. So many problems, so many questions that we should be looking for the answer to. So many problems that we should be investing in solutions for. And y'all is down there stuck in the ballroom of the Titanic.
And there's nothing, there's a reason why.
Thank you.
Nobody's been able to search this stuff successfully for all of this time. It's not because you haven't had the right technology or you haven't had. No, nigga, it's because it's not supposed to be got.
That's it.
This is a very fuck around and find out situation. When are y'all going to learn to respect the depths of the motherfucking ocean? Every time you try to go past a certain point, you fuck around and find out. When are y'all going to stop fucking around?
Listen, and I just like, you know, there's so much undiscovered things. And you get to a certain place, there's no light. There's just like, what are you looking for?
That's what I'm saying. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to go somewhere where there is no light and no option for such, where literally the pressure can crush your very bones? Hello, Ariel was from the goddamn sea. And you know what happened? She still had to beware of sharks. And you think that you are supposed to be down there?
Honestly, did you see
The Little Mermaid?
I did. It was such a delight.
Oh my gosh, just a wonderful iteration.
It was a marvel. It was a marvel. It was actually such a flex in so many ways, right?
It really was.
All of the ways that, it was a 2.0. It was an elevation. It showed growth in so many ways. We could talk about that. But before we get there, I'm still ranting.
Yeah.
Because I really want to deal with. Because
it's dumb.
It's very, very dumb, sis. Like,
it's dumb.
Honestly, like, I don't even.
It's dumb. It's selfish. It's useless.
This is what I was going to learn. I learned that there are most of the world's whales die by drowning. Did you know that?
What?
Whales are mammals.
That's right. Yes, they are. Whales and dolphins are mammals.
Whales and dolphins are mammals. And while they can operate and function and be down underwater for extreme amounts of time, they do have to get oxygen. And there are
that's why they.
Yes. Okay. And there are okay. certain depth, like there's a certain point where you get to, there's
that
a depth.
Can't survive
there's
either.
A depth of the sea where literally the water's not oxygenated. There's no means for them. And sometimes the whales get too far down and cannot get up back to a place in the water where they can breathe or up to the surface. They miscalculate the amount of time. They go down too far and can't get back up.
Wow.
If the whales can't survive certain depths of the water, what makes you, white man, believe that you and your Astro van can make it down there?
It's the Astro van and the PlayStation remote for me. And you know what? And I saw another point because, you know, people, there's been a lot of back and forth of discourse about insensitivity and, you know, and somebody else made a very good point. And you may think that one has nothing to do with the other. But this is a situation and what we're not supposed to have no discourse. The shit was dumb and it was selfish. And nobody's saying they wished or willed this onto these people. But there are people who are actually wishfully and willfully doing nasty things to Black people.
That's
right?
True.
Emmett Till's grave is still being desecrated all the time. White people are still doing really nasty and hateful shit. And we're not supposed to talk about somebody who went and spent $250,000 just like out of the crack of their ass to take a fucking minivan down to the bottom of the ocean with on a PlayStation controller. And we supposed to just sit back in awe? Like, get the fuck out of here.
I just feel like, and you know, Black people specifically, right? A lot of time we
talk
use
about it.
Comedy. Comedy is our trauma response. It is our coping mechanism. Yeah. It is the means by which we survive unlivable conditions.
Have you ever heard Marlon Wayans
talk about
being at his uncle's funeral and Black people laughing at funerals and things
mm-hmm.
like that?
Mm-hmm.
It was, and he made a very valid point. If you all haven't, go look it up. Look up Marlon Wayans talking about funerals. I don't know how you're supposed to think of that. But he was like, I think it was Sean or no, it was Damon, he said, that leaned over and whispered something to him, you know, about the family member that had passed. But it was something funny. And that's how we get back. I remember when my grandfather passed.
What?
We were at the repast cracking jokes
Sister,
about all the time.
You had
Grandpa
you
got
was
in
at
our
Brian's,
ass about this,
you
that,
was at
the
Brian's
third.
Funeral. You was at Brian's funeral.
Yeah, same.
Were we not, I mean, slapping our knees and crying, laughing at the repast?
Truly. And listen, I felt guilty because I Kia started laughing when I told her I was sitting on the roof. I was dead ass. But she was still able.
But this is the thing. Like, you have to, like, come on. Sometimes things are so crazy that the only thing you can do is crack a joke. Did you see the joke that I said? Now, people have been in my mentions about it all day.
Oh, Lord. What'd you say?
I said the submersible looks like a side tooth.
Oh, yes.
it looks like a side tooth. I said, look at it. Now, it's down there missing. That's a word for somebody, okay?
It is.
It's a word.
Go floss.
Don't lose your side teeth. Get up and
take
floss
yourself
right
to the dentist. Take yourself
get up and
to the
floss
dentist.
Right now because our gums don't give AF. You hear me? You've got
Sister,
to take care
you know
of
that's
those
a
gums.
Big, that's a fear. I do not want to lose my side.
I tell my dentist, shout out to my Black woman dentist, Dr. Takesha Preston. I tell her every time, I'm going to ride these teeth. Listen, these my teeth. I'm not giving them back.
Yeah. No.
You tell me what I got to do in order to keep these teeth. These my teeth. And I'm not giving them back.
George
Washington. I'm going to do what I got to do to hold on to them.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I invest very heavily. I invest my time, my money. We all should do that. We should prioritize our teeth. I'm trying to think about what LaToya said. What did LaToya say her mama used to say about your teeth? You got to be true to your teeth or they will be false to you. Come on. Come on. You got to be true to your teeth or you they do. Will be false to you. I know that's right.
And brush your fucking tongues.
I mean, get the back of it. Scrape it. You need to get you a tongue scraper. They are available at the Dollar General.
I brush and then scrape.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah. I from floss. The gag reflex.
Yes. Okay. I floss. I floss first, then brush, then scrape. Then yeah. we Listerine her.
Yep.
Down.
Yep.
Okay. Down.
And you've got to take this tongue scraper way back. I'm talking like, I want it to sound like you're sucking dick. Mm. You got to take it deep way throat. Back and you scrape
yes.
until you stop seeing white film
Period.
Coming off your tongue scraper.
Period. And let me tell you how you know. Let me tell you what will teach you that you have to do it regularly. You mess around, scrape your tongue, and smell that tongue scraper, you're going to be humbled.
Okay. Let me tell you something.
You're going okay, to be humbled. It smells it's like, going to be like, and, oh, and my you
wanna,
Lord.
You want just the appetizer of that? Lick the back of your hand, let it dry, and sniff it.
That's why I say I got a black woman
dentist. I smoke
dentist.
Blunts. I have to scrape and brush listen, my tongue. I've got to stay humble. You know got, what I'm saying?
Listen, humble. I told you I got a black woman dentist. We all need a black woman dentist to tell you the truth. But Dr. Preston, floss your teeth and then make you smell the floss.
Yep, see? Oh, you need to do that at home on your own.
You do.
Okay? Smell your belly button. Smell your floss. Sniff your tongue scraper. I'm telling you, get yourself together.
It's a needs
Put a mirror
assessment.
In front of yourself.
It's a needs assessment of sorts, right?
Yeah.
You cannot solve a problem that you will not state.
And look at your poop when you're finished because it's going to tell you everything you need to know.
You got to do that. You got to be steady. You have to have a relationship with yourself. The only way mm-hmm. you keep yourself up is to really know mm-hmm. yourself that well. Okay? You can't be
Kathy
playing
Bates
around.
Told us in Fried Green Tomatoes that we all needed to lie down. And it's not Kathy Bates. The lady told Kathy Bates. We all need to lie down. We're going to use the mirror. We're going to look at our vaginas.
Look at
you
our
You need
vaginas.
To do that
You need to know
with
it.
Your life.
That's right.
Yeah.
Listen, but listen,
I think that's going to be the name of the episode.
But I mean, we're going to talk about this on the pre-show, but like, I will say that the levity and relief that has come from y'all's tweets about this here submersible.
Sister, I can just give you one off the top of my head and then Woo! We'll save the rest for the pre-show.
Jeez,
but right. one girl said, she said, the way I would have been hollering and screaming, we would have ran out of oxygen yesterday.
Period. And
like
they say, first of all, they say, okay, so today, this morning, the news outlets were reporting that the Coast Guard has machines that detect sound underwater. And so they mm-hmm, detected mm-hmm. what they were thinking was a banging.
Oh.
you blacks, like every 30 minutes, they were saying no. they were hearing this thing that they felt like was banging. And so you blacks have turned that into, everybody is posting videos of that thing and they doing the clips beat, the grinding beat from the clips.
You see, no,
they
see,
doing,
this is why I can't deal with black
I mean,
people.
You know, this is what I'm saying. Like y'all, look at y'all. Just look
because
at
I'm
what
sitting, you, I'm
just
your
look
pusher.
At it. Just look at what you're doing.
From ghetto to ghetto to back wall to wall. I'm sorry. Speaking of which, I think that's actually a perfect segue.
Absolutely. Let's move forward. There's other
What did
news.
You say? You were going to share some things earlier.
Yes. So I was made aware, right? As we know, Pharrell Williams, also known as Skateboard P, is responsible mm-hmm. for designing the spring summer 2024 line for Louis Vuitton. Right?
Yes.
The Louis Vuitton, that fashion show, yes, was it held in Paris. And of course, it was a star-studded affair, okay?
Oh my gosh, the blacks were out.
I mean, the blacks were out, okay? LeBron and Savannah, Beyonce and Jay-Z, Kelly Rowland was there, Zendaya was there.
Zendaya.
Rihanna and ASAP came through, you know?
And the back.
You know? Yep. It was a good time. The people were there. Everyone
Kelly
was,
Rowland, Mama Tina
yes,
was there.
Everyone was there. Everyone was looking fabulous. It was a wonderful night for the culture. Okay?
Yes. And everybody looked beautiful.
Everyone looked amazing. But I learned, and we know that Pusha T and Malice also not only were they there, but they were a part of the show. We know that they are good, good friends with Skateboard P, right? So, during the show, a new song from the Clips premiered.
Oh, gosh.
We've been waiting for this, right? We've been waiting for a song for the Clips for 10, 13 years. We've been waiting.
Sister,
and we got it.
Because
gotta
I still, to this day, be rapping Virginia.
Absolutely.
I'm from Virginia, where ain't shit to do but cook. Pack it up, sell it triple price. Fuck the books. Where we re-up, relocate, we off the rooks. So when we pull up, it ain't shit to do but look.
That's it. I mean, word, a reading, a dramatic reading. So,
yes, thank you.
Push, like, you know, we don't push it. Pusha T's been out here doing his solo thing, but it's been a long time since we've heard from both of them, since the Clips have come together. So this was a monumental, this was a big deal. It was like, oh, not only are they in the show, but this is their music. I learned, the internet told me that this song is in response. Now, I was telling sis, did you know Jim Jones has been talking shit about Pusha T? Did you know that?
I did not know. Okay, wait, pause. Where's Jim Jones been? What's happening?
Evidently, he has been on tour. He's done, you know, whether it's down to the Breakfast Club, he's been doing some of the podcasts. And as the people are talking about rappers, top 50 rappers, who's the best rapper, he has had a lot to say about how Pusha T is not amongst the greatest rappers. He said on the Breakfast Club that Pusha T did not deserve a spot on the list of top 50 MCs, Billboard's list of top 50 MCs. He did not deserve a place. Now, I saw an article down to the GQ online, and they were saying that this might be because, did you know that Jim Jones and Drake have become good, good Judies?
No. But I'm not surprised, because Drake strikes me as the type who wants to hide up under the butt of somebody who could whoop his ass. So
So we know that there's been a long-standing beef between Drake and Pusha T. And so Jim Jones... Mm-hmm. When Drake performed down to the Apollo here a few months ago, evidently he called Jim Jones and all of the rest of the Dipset onto the stage.
And which makes sense. That sounds like a Drake penis writing move.
At that concert, Jim Jones named Drake as the fifth member of Dipset. I said, wait a minute.
Okay, now hold on. We are going too far.
Hold
we're going
the line.
Too. We're going bottom of the ocean now.
Exactly.
Nigga.
We've gone too deep.
That
we've
don't
gone too
need
deep
to be entered.
We've gone too deep. Right. And so,
was Cameron there?
Yes. All of the Dipset.
And he approved this message.
I would imagine so. But all of that to say, Pusha's new song that was premiered at the fashion show has some direct responses. He is calling out Jim Jones. And the people are saying, they are saying that he is not playing. He's talking
as
about,
he doesn't tend to do.
And I mean, I cannot wait to hear it. Evidently, I want it to be released. It hasn't been released to the public. I don't think. I can't find it nowhere on the internet. But it says it's supposed to come out on Friday. But we're going to have to reconvene to talk about this, because evidently he said Jim Jones ain't got no money. He don't have no relevance. We only know him because he was down to the Love of Hip Hop.
Now push it now. Now you're going too far. Because listen, I was an avid Dipset fan. Howsomever. I don't want to see Jim Jones in a rap battle with Pusha T. He will lose. And you should not throw things when you are not prepared for them to be thrown back.
Listen, the houses is glass.
I just don't want to do that. And I love you, Jimmy, and you've given me a lot of sound bites. I keep that video on hand in my phone at all times of you saying, what the really fucking fuck is going on? The fuck is going on out here? Like, it is the best video that I have in my phone. And I've got videos of my child in my phone. So I love Jim Jones. But now we're just entering territory that I don't think that we should be entering.
Yes.
From a rap standpoint.
Well, I mean, I think you
Jim
niggas,
Jones, because I hope you niggas are not trying to take things physical.
To be fair, Jim Jones started it. He was the one who had all of these opinions about how he didn't think that Pusha was, you know, he thought Pusha was overrated. When he was on the Breakfast Club, he said something to the tune of like, name five Pusha T songs.
This is childish.
All of these things.
Don't unfriend somebody as a person and then come to everybody else that's around you and be like, y'all need to stop being friends with her too. Yeah. So Jim Jones became friends with Drake and said, your beef is my beef.
Yes. Yes. And Jim, and listen, Pusha T is, evidently he's has held no punches. He is on that track. Talk about Jim Jones house foreclosure.
I'm sorry, because sometimes you've just got to know when to shut your fucking mouth.
I think you might have bitten off a little bit more than you could chew. Do we remember? We know how Pusha T gets down and the way that he eviscerated Drake.
Yeah, he did. And also, you are putting your life also on display here, in a sense where, you know, there might be people who are brought into this that did not ask to be brought into this. Mama Poomkash, the child. There might be shots starting to be taken at Chrissy because we all saw her propose to this nigga.
Oh, God. Please,
and mercy. So, chicken feet and soup. And so, I just, why are we doing this? Why would you subject yourself and your family and your, why would you do this, Jim Jones?
Child, I don't have the answers, but I just can't wait to pour myself a cup of this single, okay? I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy this cold, refreshing glass of mess, okay?
Yes.
I am all the way tuned in. Speaking of mess, what is the next topic what is it?
I think we shall talk a little bit about Jonathan Majors.
Woo.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Yeah. Jonathan Majors, you know, is facing some domestic violence allegations.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've already spoken my piece because
we both have.
Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. We did talk about
this. The internet is in a rage now because I believe there was a recent court date.
Mm-hmm.
And he stepped on the scene and not only holding the hand of a one Miss Megan Good, but in an offensively wrinkled and oversized jacket and pant.
So that was really the it biggest wasn't even a thing suit. For us. His jacket looked like
what is
backwards.
Going on? I don't understand what about this situation would warrant him showing up to the courthouse looking like that. I don't get it.
Crystal Jean made a very valid point.
I saw that.
Yes. And for those who missed it, she said, you know, he is appealing to, you know, trying to make himself look less muscular than what he actually is. And a lot of times these are tactics that are used by attorneys and so forth for you to appear more pitiful or less aggressive,
pitiful
quote unquote,
is
jury.
Accurate. Yes. Because it had to be something like that. And listen. We don't have to rehash because, like you said, we've already talked about this. I don't want to give this a whole lot more. But, you know, there's been lots of chatter about the suit, which is what is most offensive to me. But also Megan Good.
So Megan Good showed, you know, Megan Good is dating Jonathan Majors.
Evidently.
I'm going to put some quotation marks around that because
there's not been an official statement.
No, but she did show up hand in hand in support of him at his hearing at court trial appearance.
It was a hearing. I don't really know what to do with this.
It's fascinating to me.
I'm concerned.
So it, so here's my like this is the stance we want to make. This is what we want to do.
Woo.
Is this like this is my and that's really that's what we want to do. We want to like that's the hill we want to die on. That's the wrinkled shirt we want to lay in. Like that's the I just like Megan, what you doing? Like what's happening?
Well, I just think what I feel like we can deduce mostly from this is that it's not so much as like what is Megan doing. I just think that Megan is getting done.
But it's just the timing. Given everything, given the accuser in this situation, given the history.
This is what I'm saying. And I mean, like we said before, we don't know all of the information. There's all kinds of accounts. But like we said before, we always have to bear in mind that multiple things can be true at one time. Could this be another case where a black man is being villainized? Absolutely. But that does not mean that there may not be things where that need to be held. Like, you know, there are some accountabilities and things that also may be on the table or in question. And so it won't be until all of the facts are presented. And I mean, even then, right? I just feel like, I mean, it's not lost on me, right? The timing of when, like, you know, Jonathan Majors dated white women just about exclusively, almost exclusively, has had multiple allegations made against him. And now, now is the time that, you know, it just seems really convenient that now you are in what appears to be a thriving and supportive relationship with a black woman. The timing of it is not lost on me.
And I don't, in the fact that women, especially black women, have generally had to be these tools of strength and perform this labor, and it's really I'm squinting the fuck out of my eyes right now at the fact that you have pretty much only dated white women. You do have a history of aggressive, and I use that word, and I do not use that word lightly, but aggressive behavior. And now all of a sudden, like, you pitiful and sad. Your clothes was, I mean, skin tight for mad long. And now all of a sudden you walking around here looking like Huckleberry Finn and got a black woman on your arm. Literally. And it just is real fucking funny
looking.
Like,
is it aesthetic?
To your
like,
girl.
Is this like, yeah, like, what?
And listen, I'm well aware that we don't have all the facts and we're never going to have all of them because we were not there. Right. I'm very well aware of that. We've not been there over the course of time of anything that's been going on with him. But what I can talk on is what I have seen and what I know. And what I know to be true is you've been dating white women for a long time. You have a history of aggressive behavior. And now all of a sudden, your clothes was tight as motherfuck. And then all of a sudden, your clothes is big as hell. Yes. You look like you're wrapped in a fucking fronto leaf and you got a black lady on your arm. And that's what I know what I'm looking at. At a time when everything is being snatched because these things are coming to light. And yes, I'm also well aware that there is a really traumatic history in this country of white women falsely accusing black men of things.
Absolutely.
But I also know what I know, if you know what I mean. And I It's just the optics look real funny.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I said. Multiple things can be true at one time. Do white women have white women lied and accused, you know, falsely accused black men of crimes that they did not commit? Absolutely. Could that be what happened in this case? Absolutely. Is it also true that there have been multiple reports of aggressive behavior from this person? Also true.
Yes. And could this very well be true? Absolutely.
So, I mean, so this, yeah, I mean, and it's also true that the public is notoriously, you know, unfair. I mean, the public and the media villainize, you know, and the cost, you know, black men have been erased for these kinds of things, you know, lost opportunities.
Yeah, because Johnny Depp, listen, last year or whatever the fuck, they had that big ass case and he was accused, both of them, but he was accused of some heinous shit. And I have not seen the kerfuffle around that, but I'm not here to Taraji, to Taraji the situation and say, oh, well, you know, nobody's having a da-da-da Harvey Weinstein, but they're doing it to R. Kelly. I'm not here to do that either. I'm not pacifying that type of fucking behavior. I think it is important for us to have discourse, though, around how we can have complicated feelings around a situation like this.
Absolutely.
And I think it's also fair for us to be able to note that Jonathan Majors looked like he went camping in his clothes.
And it's just like, what's going on? I think more it's the optics is what is offensive to
me. Yeah, I don't like them optics at all, actually. I don't like the optics of that at all. But Making Good also is a grown-ass woman with her own autonomy.
And she makes her choices.
And if you choose to go and perform
that's your business
weird stance, then, you know, that's your right to do so, but it looks the fuck crazy, and I'm gonna say that.
All right.
lastly I found myself watching an Instagram live the other day that I didn't expect to be watching.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Kamora Lee Simmons woke up on Juneteenth morning.
On Juneteenth.
And with her white, on Juneteenth. Yeah, it was on Juneteenth. And with her white robe and her diamond choker. And, you know, she saw the kids off to camp or whatever the case. And then she went into her bedroom closet boudoir and proceeded to let us know that Russell Simmons is, we already know Russell Simmons is an alleged rapist.
Oh, wow.
But that he is also a liar and full of deceit, that he is unwell and has been falsely portraying a unity within the family that hasn't existed for some time. And then Aoki Lee Simmons,
their daughter,
who recently graduated from Harvard, shout out to her, decided to chime in because she has been traumatized in this situation and she is tired of having to keep silent about a very fucked up situation. And she released some screen recordings and text messages and WhatsApp messages betwixt her and her father, where he exhibited some extremely disturbing behavior, even with the video being on mute.
Absolutely. I mean, it was particularly traumatizing for me as a child who has lived through volatile divorce, my parents having a volatile divorce. Thankfully, it wasn't anything to this extent. And well before the time when these things were made public through social media and just like up for public consumption and public scrutiny. But I really regretted that I ingested all of that. Because I just really hate to see, you know, family trauma and, you know, incidents of abuse and illness just sort of made public in this way. And when I think about the ways that it destroys the people involved, more specifically the children, regardless of their age, right? Because I think, you know, Russell and Kamora's kids are in their 20s now.
They just graduated from college, so that's
so they're grown. They're grown women, but coming into a world.
I think she is 20. I think she, because Kamora mentioned she's one. She's graduated at 20 years old from Harvard.
I just feel like, you know what, like how traumatizing it is. You know, we hold our parents in such high regard, and they are human, and so we have to, you know, hold space for their limitations, their flaws, but at the same time, but you know, to sort of see this unraveling that is happening publicly has got to be hard.
Absolutely.
To live through. So I'm just sort of lifting up and thinking about those kids.
And not only to live through that publicly, but to also endure that privately.
Exactly.
And have to live publicly as if you are not enduring verbal, emotional abuse from somebody who already has a gaggle of issues and has run away from the country to avoid facing the consequences.
Lord have mercy.
Of said issues. And then also included in the discourse, you know, he got with their mother when he was in his mid-30s and she was a teenager. And so, like, he's been exhibiting behavior, but he's been able to live this life untouched and unscathed for his decisions. And he's been able to embody this or he's been able to fool people into believing that he is this spiritually enlightened individual when you're a really fucked up person. And the things you're putting your children through and you've put other women through for years and years, for decades.
Very, very sad. And I actually hate to see it.
But I do hate that that's what they have to endure publicly, or that they feel like in order to get any sort of justice of sorts, that they have to air this out publicly. And then that's having to live through that publicly. That's that is like so how, unfortunate. Like
the gaslighting of them have to endure this privately.
Exactly.
And to like to feel that their only vindication is to sort of tell the truth and to expose the truth of their lived experience. It's got to be super hard. And
and there's people out here who are spitting rhetoric such as, well, why y'all put it out there if you don't want it? Because like you said, and it's sad that this is the way that it has to be done. But if you know somebody is operating a certain way behind the scenes and they are falsely creating a narrative that things are grossly different than what they actually are.
Right.
And then you feel like this is your only way. I'm sure they don't feel good about this.
Right.
That's really difficult. Oh. And then on top of that, they have to live through the allegations that he's had that don't have anything to do with them.
Right.
Like, all of that is unfair.
As we said at the start of the show, the world is worlding, and we are just
boots
doing our best negotiating these horrible circumstances, conditions, and events. But we got each other to process with around the kitchen table, and we have moments of light like the Little Mermaid. Also, did you see the baby face Tiny Desk?
I did not watch it yet. Is it amazing?
Piece of that.
Okay.
Because Babyface had the hits. It's for the aunties. Okay. It's for us. I think you'll enjoy.
Okay. Oh, you know another Tiny Desk coming up for the aunties?
Who?
And I would like to, I'm going to give myself a little props in being just a very small portion of the band of Black people who came together to make this happen.
Uh-oh.
Juvenile.
Oh, well, that already, well, yes, it was just recorded. It has not yet been released.
Yes, it's coming.
We are awaiting.
But I don't know if you remember at the start of this where people were like, yo, Juvie, you need to do a Tiny Desk. And he was like, he tweeted, it was like, what the fuck is a Tiny Desk? I wouldn't do no shit called Tiny Desk.
Oh, Juvie.
And myself, along with thousands of other Black people,
explain,
came forward and was like, wait a minute, Juvenile. This is actually an incredible opportunity, and you need to do it. And you deserve to do it, right? Because
yes,
the kids use the term loosely at this point, but I would arguably say that Juvenile is an iconic figure for us within culture and society. And you could say that off of the strength of what Back That Ass Up has done by itself.
Definitely.
By itself, let alone all of the other amazing work he's done.
I would not argue against
that. 400 degrees. I'm so over the moon that this is happening, and I cannot wait. I'm going to have a nigga ass watch party.
Oh, yes.
With chicken wings and tater skins, and we're going to watch Juvenile. I might make a pot of gumbo, actually.
Oh.
I might make a pot of gumbo in honor of Louisiana and Juvenile performing on the Tiny Desk.
Black Music Month? Because they'll be releasing lots of good Tiny Desk. Charlie Wilson had one.
Oh, let's see.
I didn't watch Tank's, but Tank had one. I don't know. I don't know which ones we can look forward to before Black Music Month. We have a couple of weeks left before it concludes, so hopefully we'll get it in time. But I'm
okay, let's see. I'm looking to see when this is supposed to. Yep, April 7th of this year. Can we please get a Juvie the Great Tiny Desk? And he said, what the fuck is a Tiny Desk? Oh, and no.
And no. And no is crazy. And no is wild, okay?
That is the most uncle's ass thing.
And no.
And no. Okay, yes. I don't know. Wait. Oh no, that was he
it
was at Howard.
Say.
Anyway, it's coming soon and we need to stay tuned for it. And I cannot wait. I might learn how to make homemade boudin just behind this NPR Tiny Desk with Juvenile. But
yeah,
I will watch the Babyface one. And with that being said, that is our kitchen table trash mashup of things going on in the world. The world is worlding. I think that's what we're going to call the episode.
The world is worlding. And we should all beware. But take care
of
yourself.
And we should all be leery.
Yes.
And with that being said, let's move on to this honesty box.
All right.
Oh, hello, sister.
What's up, sister?
So have you heard of the app Hinge?
I've heard a few things here and there, but I don't know that much.
Well, it's a dating app, you know.
Oh,
no, not trying to throw any hints your direction, but howsomever, it's an intentional dating app. You know, we both speak very much about intentionality and all that we do. Do we not? We want to do stuff on purpose.
Right.
And so it's the app that is meant to be deleted.
Okay. Well, I'm good at deleting apps. Yes.
Yeah. You know, you just build a little easy, you know, unique profile using their feature called Hinge Prompts. And the prompts helps you showcase your personality and share your interests and your humor and your dating intentions.
Mm. Okay.
Are you intrigued?
I'm not close. I'm not close. Let's talk through it.
So they have a couple prompts, and I think it would be fun for us to do some of them together. You know, just a little warm up. You know,
kind of like, you know, we're playing like what would be your tagline on the Real Housewives?
Yeah, you know, sure. But like interest and stuff like that. Okay, it's how you get to know somebody. So I think it's really fun. So let's do some together.
Okay.
What do you go crazy for? What do you like? What lights your fire?
What lights my fire? Really tasty food. Okay. Mm. Feed me.
Yes.
Feed me. Yes. And have something to say. And if you make me laugh, like genuinely laugh, right? I don't want to be doing no fake. I want to be like laughing. I want to really actually genuinely think that you have a
You got real to make me laugh like my homegirls.
I mean, like it's literally a requirement. If that is not something that's happening, then I don't know how far we're going to get. But I feel like if we have these sort of pointed, very direct questions, the likelihood of my time being wasted goes down substantially. I'm not closed.
It does.
I'm not closed. I'll give it a go.
Okay, we're going to do one more. Maybe this will open your mind a little bit more. So,
okay.
Date vibes. Like, what together we could. The best way to ask me out is by. What's your date vibes looking like?
Have a plan. Have a plan, young man. Have a plan. I don't like, I feel like I have to make a lot of decisions in my life. I have decision fatigue. So if you make decisions for me, like real, like good ones though, don't be out here choosing chicken fingers and French fries for the table. Cause okay, but we are grown.
And what's the best way for somebody to ask you out?
Just tell me what time to be ready.
Oh, you like somebody to be assertive.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I have decision fatigue. I'm making decisions all day long. Tell me to be dressed at 7 o'clock.
You don't want no hemming and hawing.
Yeah, if I'm telling you that I'm already available on Thursday night and then you say, okay, so what you want to do? I don't got time for that.
That's fair. You want somebody who's going to move with intentionality, which is why Hinge is so amazing.
Absolutely.
Because it's built to move with intentionality. They got a little section called getting personal, right? About your love language, what you won't shut up about, what you geek out on. So I think in order for me to pull in the right type of person, you know, should I have used this app once upon a time in my life? I mean, my love language is obviously food.
Yes.
What I won't shut up about. Oh, as of recently, hot links. And I'm sure somebody would be very confused. But I also feel like if I say that I am unable to shut up about hot links, that it will also pull the right person because they will understand what a very specific love for hot links is. You know what I'm saying? And I think lastly, what I geek out on, cult shows. And I think just those three vast things is going to weed out what I don't need and pull in what I do. Should I use Hinge?
Absolutely. That particular chapter in your life is closed. But for those of us who are still exploring, it seems that Hinge is the place where that can happen. So if you're looking for a meaningful relationship, download Hinge today. Meet someone great and then delete Hinge when it feels just right.
Tabitha Brown brightens days like no one else. Now the actress, vegan, and social media phenomenon is partnering with Target to bring the world more vibrance, candor, and joy. Arriving for the season of laid-back lounging, backyard barbecues, and poolside hangs, this limited-time collection is here to give all your gatherings that perfect summer glow. The Tabitha Brown for Target Outdoors Entertaining Collection drops at Target and Target.com on May 14th. This collection is designed to celebrate Tab's favorite season, summer. It's all about bringing loved ones together around all the best things, delicious food, fun games, good music, and that bright, happy sunshine. From the comfiest outdoor furniture you've ever lounged on, to your new favorite pool floaty, to games, to glassware, and more, this collection has you set for a summer full of joy. Check out the Tabitha Brown for Target Outdoors Entertaining Collection on May 14th in Target locations and on Target.com.
Honestly? Truly.
Oh, hello there.
Hey.
So we're back with an honesty box this week. Make sure you're sending your honesty box questions to hello@gettinggrown.co.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Our listener, I don't know the pronouns, would like an alias, please.
Okay, so let's, Charlie Baltimore.
Charlie Baltimore.
I don't know why that floated into my mind, but here we are.
Redheaded goddess. I don't know why it did either, but I love you for it. Charlie Baltimore writes, hey, Jade and Kia. First and foremost, I just have to say a big thank you to you two for creating this incredible community for Black people. Oh. Ever since my college days, I've been a devoted listener. And let me tell you, both of you have been like the older cousins I've always needed in my life. Yes, thank you.
Right, little cousin Charlie.
Your wisdom. Okay, little cousin Charlie Bolte. Your wisdom, honesty, and genuine curiosity about yourselves and the world have been nothing short of inspiring. Mm. The way you both show up in the world has had such a profound impact on how I handle my relationships with family, friends, and even coworkers. Jade, your no-nonsense attitude coupled with the deep love you have for your family, sister, friends, and community is truly inspiring. Thank you. And Kia, your willingness to be so honest about your personal journey and the way you seek knowledge about the world while honoring God gave me the push I needed to return to church after years of being burnt out from religion.
Amen.
Getting a glimpse into how you navigate and honor all these different aspects of your identity, as well as witnessing your healing process, has been such a gift. I can't express enough how grateful I am that you both feel comfortable enough to share these pieces of your lives with the Getting Grown community. Honestly, you two are just incredible human beings. Now let's get to the mess.
Aww.
For context, I've been friends with this woman for approximately 4 years.
Okay.
We actually met through a friend when I relocated to a new city and was desperate to find my tribe. Over time, our friendship has evolved and I have grown to deeply care for this person. Initially, we encountered challenges due to a lack of boundaries and some other issues, but I've made adjustments along the way and have been extremely clear about my boundaries. Since then, our friendship has been solid. This particular friend of mine has predominantly grown up in white environments and has not had many positive relationships with women, especially Black women. She frequently experiences falling outs with friends and struggles to establish lasting connections. However, lately, I've noticed something concerning. It appears that she is trying to insert herself into my relationships with my other friends. While I am generally open to sharing friends, this person has negatively impacted some of my other relationships with her inappropriate behavior, to put it simply. I understand that her intentions are good, but she often comes across as off-putting and occasionally does ridiculous shit. Recently, I've been spending more time with some incredible new friends. We've known each other for about a year, and our bond has grown stronger, particularly as we have supported one another through leaving traumatic relationships. These ladies have become like sisters to me, and honestly, I never anticipated making such amazing friends at this stage in my life. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Life certainly surprises you. However, here's the tricky part. My friend has noticed this and is attempting to, quote unquote, get in with these friends. When we hang out together, she will ask me to invite my friends to our gatherings, even if they were originally meant to be individual hangouts. Mm. Additionally, she's been reaching out to them on her own to arrange hangouts. This is not the first time she's pulled this, and it genuinely concerns me because the last time it happened, she rubbed my friend the wrong way and I had to mend that relationship. Now I'm grappling with how to approach a conversation with this person. I'm aware that they are sensitive, and I do not want the conversation to hurt them because I care about them just like I care about my other friends. However, I'm genuinely concerned about their actions having a negative impact on my relationships with these ladies. I may be overthinking it slightly, but it feels more complicated than usually given. I understand her feelings and desire to establish healthy relationships with other Black women. Moreover, I do not have the capacity to guide her through understanding how some of her actions are off-putting, and I do not feel that it is my responsibility to do so. To add a bit of fuel to the fire, she recently made a rude comment about one of my friend's new partner. I checked it right away, but it really bothered me. Therefore, any advice or insights you can offer would be greatly appreciated. I want to handle this situation with care while also honoring myself and protecting the amazing connections I formed with all my friends. Mm-hmm. Charlie Baltimore.
This is a tangled web, Charlie, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Howsoever,
Charlotte style.
I do feel like we cannot hold ourselves responsible for how people respond or react to the truth of our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And further, we cannot or should not allow that fear of how they will respond to keep us from being honest and authentic. Because, I mean, you know, we have a responsibility to tell all of our friends the truth. And I think, Charlie, that you have outlined very clearly the reasons why a boundary is needed. You've also been very clear about what you have the bandwidth for as far as this relationship is concerned. And so I feel like the work is in you coming to terms with a decision that it sounds like you've already made. You have outlined for us, and you've outlined an argument and substantiated with evidence all of the reasons why this person, why a relationship with this person going forward may need to shift. I'm not telling you to end it, but you know, you have called out some things that this person has done that you have taken issue with and, you know, concern you. And so I think you are asking us whether it's okay for you to express those concerns and act upon them. And to that I say, yes, it is not only okay. It is the honest and adult thing to do. We are allowed to grow. Yeah, we are allowed to grow in and out of relationships with the people that we are connected to. We're always evolving and growing and changing. And sometimes the dynamics or the conditions that we initially sort of connected with a person will change. And that will warrant us to adapt and adjust the ways that we engage them. So I don't know if, you know, I feel like you already, I mean, I'm clear about what the boundaries, like, I'm clear that, like, you've told us that a boundary needs to be established. And so I would encourage you to establish that and then free yourself from the responsibility of, fixing.
Healing. That's, so I would challenge you to give a little bit more autonomy to the friends that you've created. And I say that not to say that you don't have, that this is, that your feelings around this person's behavior are not valid. No, I'm positive they are. I also know we don't have the full story, right? So we're speaking from a very specific
one-sided
lens.
Yes.
But I say, as a person who has brought different friends together, some meshing, most meshing, some not, some establishing their own friendships with within, you know, these connections. At this point now, if I have, if Antoinette and Crystal decide they have formed their own friendship, it's not my responsibility if Antoinette does something off-putting because I introduced them as friends. They've made a decision as two grown women to connect with one another, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, if one is something off-putting, the other then has a responsibility themselves to establish their boundaries and say that they are uncomfortable with something.
Agreed.
Now, I also understand the complicated feelings around having brought this person into multiple settings in which the behavior has been, you know, off-putting in multiple settings, right? And I think that's what ties back to what Kia was saying with maybe an evaluation of a shift of the relationship. It doesn't have to be love lost.
And it doesn't have to be like, F you, I'm never speaking to you again.
But
perhaps it is just being honest about, like, this is what happens when all of us get together. And so if we're going to hang out, then we should hang out. And I thank you for making that distinction, because
That's a really good point. When I was encouraging you to establish a boundary, I was encouraging you to establish it for yourself. It is not right. your responsibility to create boundaries between your friend and who's trying to make friends with your other friends, because everybody mm-hmm. here is grown. Thank you for making that yeah. distinction. Yes.
No, of course, of course. That's off of, you know, piggybacking off of what you were saying. And yeah, so I think, like Kia said, I think all of your points are very valid. And I think there is a way to have a conversation if the behavior has gotten to a point where you are like, okay, I just can't deal with it. And it sounds like you have.
Yeah.
But I would challenge you to try to alleviate yourself of some of the responsibility of this person's behavior as it pertains to other people, because you were the conduit yeah. of how they met.
For sure.
Like, that doesn't mean that you shoulder the responsibility of their actions.
Absolutely.
You know, going forward.
Absolutely. And I just was like, I just heard in the tone, well, I perceived, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you care about this person's feelings and you don't want to mm-hmm. hurt them. Mm-hmm. And I think that
absolutely.
That speaks to the kind of friend that you are. But I'm just mm-hmm. encouraging you to be honest, because, you know, you trying to spare somebody's feelings by lying to them is like, you know, again.
Yeah, it's good that you want to have a conversation with them. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's.
But I would make sure that going in, your points are, like Kia said, your points are surrounded around your own boundaries and what you've, you know, your own experiences.
Yeah, make a decision. And present a case. Tell her how you feel. From mm-hmm. my perspective, this is what it is for me. This mm-hmm. is how this behavior makes me feel. Moving forward, mm-hmm. I would prefer, or what I need is XYZ. And if that is mm-hmm. something that your friend is willing to talk about, then you can move forward. If, you know, if not, then, you know, you have some information and you can make a decision as to whether mm-hmm. and how you want to proceed in this relationship.
Yep.
And it, like you said, it doesn't have to be any love lost. Sometimes it's just, this is where I am with this. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer going to be the referee. I'm no longer going to try to, you know, smooth things over when you, you know, F things up with these people. If they don't like you, that's their choice. Mm-hmm. That's on them. And that doesn't mean that I don't like you. But listen, I'm not going to be the person caught in the middle of this dynamic. If you want to build mm-hmm. relationships with those people, you'll have to do that on your own. And you
yeah.
have to also honor that if they don't want to, you got to respect that. You got to respect that. So I hope that helps, Charlie Baltimore.
I hope so. I hope any of that was helpful. Please keep us updated. You know, let us know how your conversation goes. And, you know, for the rest of you, send those honesty box questions on over to hello yes. at gettinggrown.co. All right. We'll see you all for the next segment.
Yeah.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y. Honey.
All right. It's time to put that petty on parade. And it is very petty this week. But I think that it is... it is a very important note. Sour cream and onion chips are not a valid replacement for jalapeno chips.
What? Who would even do that? A valid replacement? That is not, they're not comparable in any way.
Exactly. So I ordered myself an Italian hero. You know, that's what I wanted for lunch yesterday. And I said, okay, I'm going to give me an Italian.
That
I want it specifically
delightful.
With jalapeno chips. Had you replaced them with pepperoni chips, I might have been able to go ahead and take that. Or, you know, text me and tell me what the other options are. But I would have never chosen sour cream and onion. I would have asked for a refund first. I enjoy sour cream and I enjoy onion. And I do not enjoy either one of those dehydrated into chip form.
First of all, sour cream and onion chips are childish.
I hate them.
They are not for adults. They're just not for adults.
They're not.
And we should
They're
just,
not.
We should all just accept that as a person.
I don't know. I don't think it was a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know? Do I like a sour cream and onion dip? Yes. Do I like a sour cream and onion chip? No.
No.
Then there is a difference.
There is a vast difference.
Do I like a sour cream and onion chip specifically dip with a ridged chip? Yes, I do. Mm. I enjoy that very much. There are things that go together. What is happening outside today?
So much. So much is happening outside today.
But I hate sour cream and onion chips. And this person is going to bring me my sandwich with sour cream and onion chips. I was incensed. The meal was ruined. It was ruined.
Immediate jail. It was ruined. Jail immediately. Okay.
And I said, you know, this is my fault because I've been saying for 4 days that I need to do some grocery shopping and I haven't done it. And I would have had jalapeno chips in here to supplement that terrible mistake if I would have done that. So I'm going to turn the mirror back on myself.
You're doing your best. You're doing your best.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
That's all we can do, sister. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
My petty peeve is actually just as petty, and it is for the people of the internet who troll me and troll me specifically and directly, because I have not been shy about the fact that every time Kyle Barker and Jaleesa Vincent sung on their respective television shows, I have been very vocal about how that grinds my gears. It burns my grits. It grates my nerves. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who would hear me express that and then proceed to DM me all of the clips of the internet of the very people who I have asked, who I have said, the very people who I have identified as the source of my frustration, you send me videos. You tag me in videos. Know that you will be immediately blocked. And know
when
that you
I
will
fall
be
in love.
You will be called out on the show as I'm about to do right now. So this message goes out to @Brando_Eclectic. You are the person who is the source of this petty peeve.
@Brando_Eclectic.
You will rue the day that you filled my mentions with a clip of Jaleesa Vincent singing the national anthem. Jail. Immediate jail. Immediate jail. And I go to your page and it says follow back. I will not follow back. I will actually block. And that is my petty peeve for the day.
Who don't block Brando_Eclectic.
Tell him to stop sending me these terrible videos. And perhaps Brandon, I will consider.
Brandon, I'm going to assume your name is Brandon. And I'm going to call you Brandon because your mama named you Brandon. Don't send Kia no more
don't
before she blocks your black ass.
Another thing.
That is funny to me. She said, I'm naming names
because it's the only way to put a stop to this treasonous behavior. And I will not abide the disrespect any longer. I won't. Y'all continue to try me. Continue to try me. And find yourself blocked.
And if you want to see Kia's facial expressions whilst she is cussing y'all out in this biblical way, go check out the Patreon.
Y'all think I'm playing? I'm not.
Ooh, I am. My stomach hurts. That was incredible. Oh my gosh. First of all, impeccable trolling Brando underscore eclectic. But also,
and Cortez sent me the clip as well. Cortez sent me the clip as well.
Cortez knows you're not gonna block him though.
Oh, but I will. Y'all leave me alone with Jaleesa Vincent, okay? She's moved on with her life. Let's all move on with our lives. And I don't want to hear no more.
It was so highly disturbing, though, that she, was it her? She married the colonel. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, it was pretty odd.
It was very odd.
I mean, in fairness, she was grown. She was 26. But just the principle of it.
Yeah, but colonel was like 50. Which means he was like 40 when she was 16. Don't love it. Nope, don't like that. But we all know who was in charge of a different world. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Getting Grown and all of the intellectual conversation that we have here on this platform.
Yes, indeed.
If you have not checked out the Patreon, make sure you do so. It's where all of the ad-free video content lives. And when we say ad-free, we mean ad-free, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty ad-free. So you can go see the video, all of the wonderful facial expressions. We also have pre-shows. There's also the visual element of the graduation announcements, which we know are the mini-sodes. We missed this week because, you know, we had some life going on. But we're back and we're doing them through the end of June, baby. So make sure you get your last minute graduation announcements in and check out those mini-sodes if you want to encourage the graduates of 2023 as much as Kia and I do. And sis, take them out. Tell them what to do.
Make sure that you are doing your very best to moisturize your mind by attending to the business that is above the ground and yours alone. Okay? You also want to moisturize your insides by drinking water, not submerging millions of feet down into the water. You just want to drink it. If you drink it, everything will be okay. Okay, just drink the water. You moisturize your organs. And then you'll moisturize your largest organ, your skin. Okay? That's something, that's the third thing you want to do and prioritize, because your black will crack if it's dry.
I want to be where the niggas are. I want to see, see them dancing, walking around on those, what's that word again? Streets. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Okay, all right. Oh, all right, sure. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.